Well, once again, good morning, everyone. It's really very good to be with all of you for the installation. Let me let that fire truck go by. For the installation of Father Bill Bowling. Now, I want to say thank you to Father Kien, who is the associate pastor here and at Holy Trinity, and is a newly ordained priest with great enthusiasm. Thank you for your presence. And I want to say a special word of thanks to my classmate, Father Wayne Jenkins, who not only is a senior priest, but also, you know, was the administrator when our Holy Father invited Bishop Spalding to go south. So in a very special way, I do want to thank both of them. I want to say how proud we are, however, especially of Father Bill Bowling. And I'm so grateful that so many of his family members are here. I'm going to ask, I see his mom and dad and sister and some of the family. The family members of Father Bill Bowling, will you stand up now so that we can say thank you for your presence? Thank you. So it is true, a priest doesn't come directly from heaven. A priest comes from a family. And so we pray today for vocations. Every one of us in baptism is called to a vocation, but in a very special way. We're grateful, aren't we, that we have a pastor. And I'll speak a little bit about that today, and I'm very grateful that someone with the background and enthusiasm and knowledge and holiness of Father Bowling is coming all the way from Marion County to serve us here. So we're very, very grateful. I want to talk to you a little bit about what it means, this is in the readings, what it means to be fed and to feed. Let's look at the readings just very briefly. Let's look at that first reading from the first book of Kings. The first book of Kings, if you haven't sat down and read it, it's interesting. It reads like an adventure novel. So you're going to go home and say, wait, I have to get to the Bible and read that first book of Kings. And the section today talks about Elijah. Remember, Elijah stood up against the king at that time, Ahab. This was about 850 years before Jesus was born. And he stood up because people were moving away from worship and following the true God and going their own way. And as he stood up, this passage is just after he takes on 300 false prophets and wins. That's something for you to read about. I'm not going to talk about that at Mount Carmel. However, the queen at that time, her name was Jezebel. The queen at that time was kind of in with the false gods. And so she had her police and her army begin to chase after Elijah. This is why we say no good deed goes unpunished. So there Elijah is running away, and he is exhausted. He has just fed the people. He was God's prophet. And now he's exhausted, and the scriptures tell us that he lies down under a broom tree. Well, I looked up the broom tree because I thought, well, I'll admit it, I was picturing that somehow there were brooms. That's not what it is. That's not what it is, by the way, if you thought that too. No, the broom tree is a very famous tree in the place where Jesus lived and grew up. It's often in a desert, and it's a tree that spreads its branches, but also the wood can be used for cooking and warming people. They said that in the desert, they would take the wood, they would burn it, have embers, and then they would cover up the wood with some of the sand, and that became a warm bed to stave off the coolness of the desert. And so there we have Elijah discouraged, and disgusted. Now you might pause and think, gee, I remember a point in my life when I was discouraged and disgusted, when I thought I was doing the right thing, but somehow it wasn't recognized, it wasn't acknowledged. When I was feeding people, because the readings of sacred scripture today talk about how Elijah is fed, but also how Jesus, the bread of life, feeds us, and yet felt that as I was feeding, I needed to be fed. Because every one of us in this church is both a disciple and an apostle or missionary of Jesus. In other words, a disciple, we need to be fed, but as missionaries, we need to go forward and feed others. So I looked up in the most recent edition of CARA magazine. Now, CARA stands for the Center of Applied Research in the Apostolate. I thought you might be interested in this. How many of you would classify as baby boomers? Let me raise my hand. I'm a baby boomer. Well, they did a study. And the study said that baby boomers are coming back to church. And they asked the reasons of the people coming back to church. What was the main reason you came back? Do you want to hear? I'll give you the top four, but I'll do it in reverse order. I'll start with the smallest and then go to the most prominent. Here's the smallest one. I had more free time. And it's true. Sometimes people, when they go on vacation, they go to church because they have more free time. Here's the second one. This is a very serious one. I experienced a loss. Someone in my life died. Now you talk about Elijah who feels discouraged. When you love someone deeply and that person is taken from you, we turn to God. The third, and this is getting even more, let's put it that way. That was the fourth. This one, the third I just mentioned. Here's the second most important one. This doesn't apply to me, but it applies to many of you. I had concern for my children and grandchildren. I was concerned that my children and grandchildren would be living a good life, would be following God. Now, you know what the first number one reason? It was mentioned by 2 out of 3 of every baby boomer who was invited. I changed my interest in this world. Sometimes people spend their whole lives thinking, well, I'm going to make a lot of money. And they make a lot of money. And then they say, I'm still not content. Or they want fame. They want honors. And they get honors, and they get fame, and they get their names in the newspaper for the right reasons, and they say, well, that's shallow. So as we get older, sometimes our intentions get purified. We start to think about the really important things in life. Why am I mentioning all of these things to you? Because a pastor is called to serve you where you are at this moment. A pastor who himself needs to be fed also needs to feed others. Just as Elijah did, and just as Jesus in the gospel says, I am the bread of life. I draw people to myself. We were just talking now about what it looks like from the physical world when God draws people to himself. That renewed desire to live our faith. Now we're in very challenging times because one of the main things that a priest is called as pastor to do is to inspire trust. And if you've been reading the newspapers, you know that we have become very discouraged by the fact that an archbishop within the United States it came to light, did wrong things. He violated his own vows. And not only that, but it didn't come to light quickly enough. Now, we work hard at being transparent, but you know what? This is true of families. It's true of the church. You can work hard and hard and hard at building trust. And it takes hours and days and months and even years to build trust. Just watch how it is to build the trust of a young person. It takes a long time to do that. And that trust can be wiped away in the blinking of an eye. It takes long to build, but it leaves quickly. And so you and I have a responsibility as we are being fed to also seek to build trust by confronting, as a good family does, sins and problems as they come up and being firm in that, but also in never failing to reach out with God's plan. How will Father Bill, as your pastor, feed you and me? He will feed you by breaking open the Word of God. He himself will study sacred scripture. He'll pray in his private, but also at Mass. He will allow you to break open that Word of God so that you will be inspired and your hearts will be on fire. He will celebrate the sacred mysteries of the Holy Eucharist, the Sacrament of Reconciliation, and in fact, all the seven sacraments that we call. He's not gonna ordain. I shouldn't have said all seven. So if he starts to ordain, give me a call. I'm just teasing. But all the sacraments he will celebrate with and for you. In Greek, they're called the mysterion, the mysteries of life that we uncover in the sacraments. And we'll be fed. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And thirdly, he will feed you and me by the way he serves you and me and others in the manner that Jesus served those in need. Those three responsibilities form the key of what a pastor is about. Now, you might be saying to me, listen, if that goes by one more time and I'm still preaching, we have problems. So that'll be the last one. I'm almost near the end of this sermon. As he celebrates these sacraments, remember that he needs your prayers. Just as Elijah fed others, he also needed to be fed. And remember I mentioned that broom tree? When Elijah rested and was fed and stood up again, he had so much renewed energy that he walked the next 40 days and nights and got to Mount Horeb, which is the other end of Palestine where we're told that Moses received the Ten Commandments and Mount Sinai. And so the energy that he needs to serve you as a good pastor is something for which you and I must pray. We now are going to have the installation of Father Bill Bowling as your new pastor. And as we do so, let us pray in thanksgiving. Let us also pray that you and I will be inspired when we leave church to live our faith, and to live our faith as true witnesses. St. Paul said in that second reading, be imitators of God. And you and I are called, when we leave, to be imitators of God. My dear friends, because I am aware of your pastoral needs and I am confident of Father Bill's qualifications for the office of pastor, I now commend Father Bill to you as your new pastor. This would be a time for you to welcome him.